famous Unitarian gets a little airplay this time of year. Where are we? We're going to read something that's not his normal thing for this time of year. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. Dickens, Tale of Two Cities. I sat with ministerial and rabbinical colleagues this week, and one of my Christian friends tried to get under my skin, gave me a hard time about being a Unitarian Universalist. You use, he said, this must be an easy time of year for you. We struggle with telling the Christmas story anew each year. We struggle with relating to people we only see twice a year. We struggle with leading extra services. You don't believe in Christmas. You use, have it easy. Au contraire, I said to him in my very best, gay. Not only do we believe in Christmas, but we need to understand it in new ways. And not only that. We celebrate Christmas, yes, but we often try to do justice to Hanukkah, acknowledging that while there are Jews in our congregation, we are not a Jewish congregation. And we celebrate the solstice and need to negotiate how religious and outright pagan our solstice celebration might be. And we join with our partners in the Baltimore Coalition of Reason to mark human light, and there we get to negotiate how religious and humanist and even atheist our celebration might be. Please do not say that you use have it easy. Unitarian Universalists don't have it easy. We never have, and I hope we never do. But let's face it, human beings in this culture, human beings in this time of year, in this American culture, none of us can, all of us don't, have it easy. This time of year is a time of busy, busy, busyness, and when we stop being busy, how difficult it is just to be. We've done this before. Touch your head, maybe your temple. Just touch your temple and take a breath. Think about this time of year, the holidays in our memory ask us to reenact a mythic past. Unitarian poet Lydia Maria Child included this poem in Flowers for Children, Volume 2, published in 1844. The New England Boy's Song about Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the wood to grandfather's house away. We would not stop for doll or top, for 'tis Thanksgiving Day. Over the river and through the wood, oh, how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the wood and straight through the barnyard gate. We seem to go extremely slow. It is so hard to wait. Over the river and through the wood, when grandmother sees us come, she'll say, "Oh dear, the children are here. Bring a pie for everyone." Over the river and through the wood, now grandmother's cap I spy. Hurrah for the fun, and the pudding's done. Hurrah for the pumpkin pie. In this mythic celebration that we think about, we are excited, we are busy, we are rushing, and we are looking forward to eating. But really, this rushing around, this anxious grasping, this desire for something, and even for the food, in the poem, it's the story of a child. It's a New England boy. And most of us are no longer boys. Most of us are in a place where we're adult lives, we're in adult lives. The grandmother and the grandfather that we might be so excited about may no longer be with us. Our mothers and our fathers may no longer be with us, and we may have been through some emotional exchange in the passing of grandmother or grandfather. We may have been in a place where there was tremendous difficulty in the passing of mother or father. And so as exciting as it might be as a child to visit grandmother, to visit grandfather, as adults, when this mythic past comes to us in our heads, sometimes it can hurt so much in our hearts. So touch your heart. Touch your heart and take a breath and let it out. Here, I think, is where I need to go. I don't know about you, but I need to go when I cope with the holiday season. Here is where I find what is really touched by all the holidays. Here I sense, for example, the injury of relationships with people from whom I am estranged. The people who disappointed me, and there are a few, and the people whom I disappointed, and there are legion. The persons I lost in the living of me, in the living of my life, in the way sometimes I show that my priorities were not the priorities someone expected of me, and so injury happened, and I carry it, I feel it here. I'm thinking of a particular friend of mine. Our holiday was New Year's, and we performed theater and opera every year right around New Year's, New Year's Eve and the days before. And at some point we became estranged. He expected some things of me. He expected things of me, and I had to set a boundary. And he rejected that boundary. And it was necessary for me. I'm sure it was. People called it tough love. I'm not sure. All I know is we're estranged, and it hurts. It hurts. I think about it. Touch your head. Take a breath. Let it go. Touch your heart and take a breath. Let it go. Allow your feelings to go where they will. Notice your feelings and let them go. And pay attention to your breath. Notice your thoughts. Notice them. Let them go. Pay attention to your breath. Touch your hands. In this time of doing and doing and doing, I can go out on autopilot and crank out another holiday season. hang the wreath on the door, decorate with greens and candles on the mantelpiece on the dining room table, hang the stockings with care. Thank you, Martha Stewart. Bake the cookies and pickle the herring. Yes, I do that. And let the rye bread rise. I can negotiate with family and friends when my open house is going to be. I can realize I'm going to need to hire somebody to help me clean the house before I have the open house, and so I may somehow manage that. And I can even prepare a pretty party invitation that I will hand to you as you walk in the door. I can get it done that far in advance. But the holidays on autopilot for me can just keep me busy, 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 and my body and my doing is full of anxiety, and I do become a human doing. A human doing whose assertion is that I really need to be a human being. I touch my hands, touch your own, take a breath. Allow your awareness to be with your busyness, even the business you're not getting done right now because you're in church. Notice where your body's anxieties are. Don't change anything, but just be aware, increasingly aware. Take a deep breath. Notice, breathe in, breathe out. For just a few moments now, we will sit and breathe, you and I. I give you permission right here, right now, in this place, this time. Your attention in your head or your hand or your heart may bring you out of this place, but I give you permission to stay in this place, to let your mind go where it will, notice it, let it go. And pay attention to your breath. Pay attention to how it feels for your bottom to be on your seat. Pay attention to the gurgling that's going on in your stomach. Pay attention to the yawn that wants to break out. And let it go and just come back to the breath. The bell will ring. Notice it. Breathe. And in a couple of minutes, the bell will ring again. Many of us know the holidays as a time when we have lost someone, someone dear. As I said before, it may have been grandmother or grandfather, father or mother, maybe who lived a long life, a good life, and whose passing was easy. But some of us, the holidays are attached to awareness that a life ended what feels to us like too soon. Sometimes by accident, sometimes by disease, some by violence, some by self-risk. They are gone and we are left to remember. And it is so painful, especially in our make-believe holiday world. The sadness at death, the disorientation at death, the fear and pain and grief may be a part of the holidays for a very long time. And it may be a chance for us to discover our own sense of mortality in those deaths, perhaps, but also in a financial situation that has us beat, or a relationship that can't be saved, or a disease that must be lived with, the goal that will not be met and cannot be let go. These mortal challenges may be there, an enduring part of us, an enduring part of our holidays. But you know, I believe that a community will be there too, a community which can acknowledge depression and confusion and sadness and anger, numbness, disorientation, aloofness, clinginess, fear that accompanies this human project, which is our lives in the best of times and in the worst of times. We are lives affirming life in the reality of death. That's something that Forest Church taught us. And there will be a community here that will save us, will save all of us as we make this choice, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. We can become a community that we desperately need. We can handle the blueness of the holidays as we find the grace to co-create the space with each other, a space large enough to contain our love. Our love. Our love, which is part of an eternal and all-encompassing love, which our faith says is at the center of all things, at the heart of the universe, in our hearts, and at the destination of all of our living. The holidays challenge us head and hands and heart. We can sit with one another to breathe, to pay attention, to notice, and to say to each other, yes, I know, I know, I know. We acknowledge and encourage one another, and this love brings us just one more day, one more holiday, one more holy day for us all. Blessed be.